You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. An afternoon drive home like no other.
There's sometimes not enough of the puck to go around for
right,
everyone.
Exactly.
I will say this, right? William Carlson.
Sorry, I got that. You just hit the bong.
Smaller than a hair bong.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan in studio. The O-Dog will be back in a moment. So Maple Leaf game night tonight. Leafs, Dallas, in Dallas on TSN 4. It feels like Dallas and Toronto today. It's like 30 degrees.
I know. I don't mind that. As much as I don't like the hot weather, it was really exciting to turn on CP24 this morning and see that it was going to be 29, 30 degrees and a nice day tomorrow.
I think it's a troll job, personally.
You think so?
I think it's a gutless move by Mother Nature because of when it happens.
Right.
Coming off a long weekend where the weather wasn't that great.
I know, and it was foggy and
foggy
flights
and
were delayed
rainy and garbage.
Yeah.
People, they're tired. They just want to go home and go to sleep or hang out with their kids and watch TV. Tonight is a couching night.
Yeah.
You were out all weekend with the family. Now it's 30 degrees and you feel like, okay, I got to get to a patio
or
got to sit outside. The same thing tomorrow. Massive troll job.
Yeah.
And Mother Nature better not take these 2 days away from us in like April, you know, right, when it starts to, it's supposed to be
turn
getting
around.
Nice. I'm done now. Once it gets cold and the jacket comes out and the boots come out, I don't need to revert.
You've put your shorts away.
Yes. I'm done. You know, this is cool, but I didn't take advantage of it. I did nothing. Nothing.
I had the pool open today. Now, I didn't go in, but it was cleaned and I was dealing with the cover and, you know, all of that stuff. But like, be a nice day for the people to go in the pool.
You know what the problem also is with these 2 days?
Right.
It brings on a sense of obligation to do stuff outside around the house. And what bothered me today is I thought I was out of the woods not having to mow the lawn anymore.
Mow the lawn, leaves, all of that stuff.
I swear to you, every lawn in my neighborhood got mowed today.
Except for yours.
I didn't do it out of spite. I'm like, I'm not going back out there. I'm not starting that lawnmower again.
You're waiting for snow just to cover it up.
Give me some snow, some ice, some sleet.
Yeah, I don't
Because
want that
I don't
yet.
Want to mow the lawn again into mid-October. That's not fair.
Well,
it's a gutless move.
When is it supposed to start snowing? End of October, usually?
It can fluctuate a little bit. Once you're into November, it's open season.
Yeah, I talked to Darlene McLennan today, my mom, and
Edmonton?
Minus 11, and there's snow there. So, like, that's hockey weather. That's, you know, Calgary's got more snow. They keep getting dumped on.
I understand Alberta's it's tough to complain, rough. But you know what? I think you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. It's just, it's hard. Like, my mom's like, yeah, it's dash 11 out. I'm like, I got the air conditioning on here. It's
well, that's
it's
another
29.
That's another fight.
AC.
My wife wants to get the AC started, and I'm like, yeah. We don't need it. Let's get through a couple of days here. We don't need to get the air conditioning.
Now, why wouldn't you put it
again.
On? Is it your bill or is
no? It has
more
nothing. It's principle. It's based on principle. Okay, into October, I'm done.
Done with the AC.
Not turning. It would be very easy for us to just. It's we got the app. I could do it right now. I could go on
you
and turn the AC on.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do it.
You have the Nest app.
I'm putting the heat on out of spite.
I am sweat
get
out.
That thing.
Sweat
toasty.
Them out at home right now.
Yes, because Mother Nature.
Yeah,
I don't like her. She bothers me.
It's. I was fine with it today because I'm usually against. But the only thing that I was a little bit perplexed about is there were some bugs kicking around, and usually
yeah, exactly.
The bugs are gone.
I don't want to see it, man.
I don't know.
I'm into the next season.
We had these like weird flying beetles that have like red on them. I don't know what the hell they were, but
they're dangerous
like,
for sure.
There was like
they're
a
poisonous.
Flock of them. I had the raid out there and just blasted them all.
Yeah,
I was annoyed with them.
Anyway, hockey game tonight.
Yep, big
Leafs
game.
Stars, and the Leafs are 2-1. You know, we came out of the gate talking about that shootout in Chicago, yeah. Which was awesome to watch.
It was, you know what? It was entertaining.
So entertaining.
But
I loved Matthews and Kane going back and forth with the celebrations.
That's showmanship.
What is Kane complaining about after the game, though? Like, was he being serious?
No, I think
when
he was
like, I didn't like that celebration.
I think it was tongue in cheek, just because I don't think he liked. I thought he said didn't like the timing of it. It was like with a minute left in the game,
when
Austin scores potentially a game winning goal.
Absolutely,
so
in that kind of
like,
an environment.
Yeah, so that's where he was like,
teams.
I didn't like the. I didn't like that, so I had to do my own
right.
type of thing. That's what I got at. I didn't think that he was taking a shot at Austin. I think he was more like, man, I didn't like the fact that Cam Ward couldn't get hit with one. And
well,
neither could Sparks.
No
you know, that was not a goalie duel. Like, as a former goalie, I cringe on nights like that because I've been there. I know exactly. Like, there's nothing you can do. You're trying your hardest. Like, it's not like both of those guys were like, okay, it's just a shooter's night.
They didn't bet the over.
They were doing their best. It just wasn't their night. It was entertaining. I know it's being overanalyzed to death, including, I mean, you and I, we were texting and stuff. It's overanalyzed to death in a sense that, okay, for this team, if you're talking about the Leafs, to be a championship team, this has to change. This has to change in that. But three games in, that's why I'm preaching patience. Because if this is game 79 and you've got three games left and you're playing like that, now I'm concerned.
I agree with you. Because we do this every single year. We overreact to the amount of goals early in the season.
Right.
Pittsburgh-Washington, what was that, 7-6, I believe, too.
Oh, that was ugly, yeah.
And
every time you turned around.
Rangers-Carolina was an 8-5 game. This is 7-6. Enjoy it while you can. Instead of complaining about it or pointing out the obvious, because a lot of people are pointing out the obvious, you can't play like that into the spring.
No.
Washington knows that. They just won the cup.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh won two in a row 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They know you can't win 7-6 and 8-5.
Yeah.
The Leafs know it. Chicago knows it as well. But it's early in the season. Coaches, they don't have, you know, their fist on the team, so to speak. They don't have their thumb down.
Well,
they're going to have to.
It's trying, but the players
aren't listening to them yet.
But it's not even listening. It's the habits of practice that are instilled. They become second nature through repetition. The repetition hasn't been there. They've only been, I mean, they haven't been playing hockey yet, even with training camp, for a month yet. So you're still thinking on the ice instead of reacting. I did the Boston-Ottawa game yesterday, and it was
6-3, another one.
6-3, and it could have been more. Like, that top line, Boston's top line, chewed them alive. And that's, I mean, they're that good. But I'm looking at systematic play. Ottawa has tried to play a more up-tempo, aggressive game. We saw that on Saturday night against the Leafs. They did a good job. They still give up chances. Craig Anderson had to make some real big saves on the Leafs. But if you're looking at it, and I actually just was taking a step back and looking at the Leafs, 2-1 is exactly where they should be. It just take your pick of the game you probably should have lost.
Mm-hmm.
Montreal probably should have got 2 points
that
first
night.
They
were the better team, for sure. The Leafs were better than Ottawa,
right.
but Ottawa capitalized.
Ottawa capitalized, and then the 7-6 game was that's a coin flip game.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, because both goalies were having not great nights. Top players were playing like top players. You know, there was
no one was defending. Changes. There was no animosity.
It was almost like a glorified shinny.
It was a game of horse, what it was. Like, it's, I can score like this, can you score like that?
Yeah.
I'll celebrate like this, can you celebrate like that?
And
I'll give
good.
Up a horrible goal, let's see if you can give up a horrible goal.
Yeah, they like, both were doing it.
Everyone was playing horse.
But it was. And I liked it. It's good for the game, but enjoy it because there'll be a game in January on a Tuesday night where it's a 1-0 dud.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be like,
combined
that,
40 shots.
Remember that 7-6 game.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I'm preaching. Enjoy it while you can because it's not going to be here for long.
Now, both of these teams tonight play kind of the same style. They've got ultra talent. Defense isn't their first mantra as far as systematic. Even though Hitch wanted that group to play, they just didn't. I think that's a personnel thing in Dallas. I don't think that's the case in Toronto. It's not a personnel thing. It's just getting your habits together.
It.
Yeah, and this would be a good game. I think this will be.
Yeah, I think.
I don't
be
know
a fun
this,
one
if
tonight.
This is a measuring stick game. I know Dallas isn't a playoff team, but I think they're a playoff team this year. I like their team. I like a lot of things about their team, but they have to come out and prove it. I think they've got something to prove, but it's a good game for the Leafs to take a look at it. And if you actually looked at their first five games on the schedule, they're against non-playoff teams, technically. So that's when you got to make your hay.
That's what was disappointing about Saturday night. It's the second game. It's not that big of a deal, but
right.
Ottawa, like you want to beat that team so you can get a heater going early on in the season.
Yeah, it's just about getting some points.
You want to bank them because you know Tampa's going to, Boston's going to. Boston just beat them yesterday.
Yeah.
Bob McKenzie in studio. The O-Dog will be back in about 10, 15 minutes. We'll tee up the game with them. UFC 229 was wild on Saturday night. The official numbers are not in, but what I'm reading, they're looking at about 2.5 million buys on pay-per-view, which would smash UFC records.
Man.
And maybe be like the fourth highest pay-per-view number in history, up there with like the Mayweather stuff of recent years. And I think it played out perfectly for Dana White in the UFC. Like, Dana White is all about promotion. Right. That's all he cares about. Oh, yeah. That's all he should care about, because this is the payoff. Right. This promotion was perfect. The McGregor crashing Habib's event in Brooklyn and then throwing whatever it was, a chair at
that
the bus.
Like a dolly or something, yeah.
A dolly at the bus and, you know, Habib's reaction to it and the two of them going back and forth. It set up perfectly for that amount of promotion. And quite frankly, the way the fight played out on Saturday night, I think they'll smash it, the rematch. And if you don't think there's going to be a rematch, you're lost. Yeah. I don't care about this idea that Habib's going to want somebody else or McGregor's got to prove it. There might be a fight in between. Like, right. McGregor might get somebody else, or Habib might get somebody else. There is no chance that Dana White and the owners of the UFC are going to allow this to go on without a rematch. There's no way, because it sets up perfectly. The guy who is the meal ticket for the company is McGregor.
Right.
He talked smack. He didn't look good. He got demolished.
Had Habib, like, dismantled
Habib him. Habib dismantled him. And, you know, Habib's not... Habib promotes with his fights.
Right.
McGregor promotes with his antics.
Right.
And but because the loudmouth got beat up, it sets up perfectly for the rematch.
And there were a lot of people that were like, okay, that'll shut him up.
No,
McGregor doubled down and goes, I lost the fight but won the war. What did that mean? I didn't even understand
that. I didn't
that.
Get it either. Like, it was something like, we lost the fight but we won the battle and the war goes on or something. Yeah. What battle did you win? You got smoked.
Yeah,
like, he was never close to winning that fight. It never seemed close.
That Habib just, like, he looks like a scary man. Like, I just look at him and I'm like, this guy was so serious about demolishing. When he was choking him out, I kept thinking, he's not going to stop. Like,
no.
Like, I thought the ref would have had to jump on his back to
I
get
was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, McGregor gave him the tap.
The first tap. And then he's like, no.
He's like, no, this is real. I'm tapping out. And Habib was like, okay.
I'm going to apply a little bit more pressure and wait.
You know who's truly terrifying? Is the guy that guy is scared of. Did you hear about Habib's reaction or his dad's reaction to his antics post fight? Where I guess his dad has been training him like his whole life.
Yeah.
And they've got a whole crew. And his dad is like.
Yeah, the bear trainer.
Yeah, it's like Bret Hart's dad. You know what I mean? Like, they all, like, in
Stu
the base.
Hart.
Stu
yeah.
Hart. Exactly.
Yeah.
This guy is Stu Hart. And I guess he came out and said, like, the UFC will have nothing on the sanctions I'm going to place on him, because he's all about discipline. He's all about keeping your emotions in check. So when he watched his kid jump over the octagon, I guess his old man was like, I'm going to just lay a beating on you.
I'm going to kick his ass when he walks in the door.
And Habib, I guess, came out afterwards and was like,
I watched this.
Visibly shaking. He's like, this is going to be a problem. Like, my dad is.
Yeah, he goes, my dad is very upset.
He's not going to be happy.
Like,
think about how scary his dad must be if Habib is afraid of him. Like, that is a relationship in scare tactics, in discipline.
It is. I mean, because you know it's old school.
Yes.
Like, you know the belt's coming out or something.
Something
like,
is happening.
Like, in today's world, it's unacceptable, but, like, they don't live by today's world standards.
Where Habib and company hang out, they live in a different world.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to the rematch. I'll totally buy into it. I'll love the hype, and I'll want to see it, regardless of how the fight actually played out on Saturday. So Kawhi Leonard is a guy, we've spoken endlessly about Kawhi. And really, a lot of what we've talked about, a lot of the content has been about his personality and how open he is to being in Toronto and whether or not he's a vocal guy. And the impression has always been that he's not vocal whatsoever, which is fine. I mean,
you're allowed to
live your life, and your personality is your personality. You inherit that.
Though. This guy is Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that? Phil Kessel's a star.
Phil Kessel's a star. And in basketball terms, Kawhi is better than what Phil is to the NHL.
Right, like, so there you go.
If he's healthy, Kawhi's a legit top five player in the league. But Danny Green, do you want to hear this clip?
We got this clip
about Danny Green, just kind of revealing some of the details about how Kawhi is reacting to the camp up here in Toronto. And it's caused a big stir. And I've got multiple reactions to it. This is Danny Green on Kawhi.
He's definitely more vocal than he's ever been. On and off the court. Looks like he feels comfortable, feels like he feels at home. He's talking to guys, he's leading by example, in the huddles, chiming in, saying what he feels, saying his opinion before, didn't really show or tell much of his opinion.
So, there's a part of me that is confident about that and optimistic to hear that right. Kawhi feels comfortable. I mean, ultimately, this is going
to
be...
And that's what you want him to be.
And he has to be comfortable, yes. Right? Like, by all accounts, by the end of the road, he wasn't comfortable in San Antonio for whatever reason.
Right.
Maybe it's because Popovich is who he is. Maybe because Parker was around.
Right.
Manu was around. There were other vets, and Kawhi never felt like, okay, I can take a step forward and really put my stake in the ground as a leader. But the other part of it, and I don't believe this was the intention of Danny Green. He was asked the question.
Right.
Danny Green didn't say, hey, media, come over here. I have to tell you something. You know, there was a scrum. Someone probably asked him, hey, what have you made of Kawhi? And this is going to be a story all year, and the players are going to have to get used to it.
Right.
It's like when Matthews showed up his rookie year, JVR and Gardner and Bozak every day. What did you think of Matthews? What did you think of Martin?
That they're going to have to speak on his behalf.
All the time. And it's probably going to get aggravating, but they're going to have to get used to it.
Exactly.
But there's a part of me that thinks there's a troll job element to it. Like, now we're supposed to believe, oh my God, he really likes it here. Look at how comfortable he is. He's speaking up in the huddle. And
so you think,
I guess I'm trying to brace myself. I don't want to overreact to every Kawhi story and drag it back to the overarching topic of the season, whether or not he's actually going to stick around. You know, like, yeah, this is just a positive, I think.
There's
a sensitivity to everything about Kawhi and his reaction to Toronto.
It's going to go on like this, though. Get used to it. Up until the trade deadline. And up until... if he doesn't get traded at the deadline, which he probably won't,
he
lets them know, I'm out of here.
And they're brutal.
Right.
Which won't happen.
But it's going to happen until he signs either a long-term extension with the Raptors or he leaves. So every little thing is going to get dissected. So here on the positive side, great, Kawhi looks comfortable. He's even speaking. So here's the plus side. So people are like, okay, likes Toronto, must sign an extension. So a week from now, you know, Kawhi doesn't, you know, did something at a restaurant, didn't like it, or you know, sent his food back. Oh, he's not signing.
Exactly.
Here. So that's, get ready for the storyline, because it's going to be there. And he's going to get sick and tired of people asking him, do you like it here? Are you happy? As long as he goes out and plays what he's capable of and stays healthy. Played 9 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
really the priority. Play.
Play. And play well. Because you are a superstar when you're healthy.
And he would be getting this anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Anywhere else if he got traded to Philly, they'd be wondering the same kind of thing.
Right. And,
you know, we talked about the Matthews interview in that Sharp magazine, and he did say, he detailed how he's been asked the same questions every single day, and it gets very tedious. And I can understand how that can be aggravating, but you're going to get that everywhere. It's just, it's oversaturated in Toronto. You know, instead of 5 people asking, it's 25. But Matthews is going to be the story wherever he plays. Kawhi is going to be the story wherever he plays.
Right.
But, you know, the roller coaster of emotions based on the most inconsequential detail. You know, it's Danny Green just saying, hey, feels comfortable.
But hey,
what does
good.
That mean? Does he like it here? Does that mean he's going to stay?
But we're talking.
We don't know, and we're not going to know until next
July. We just spent 5 minutes talking about, you know, him and Danny Green's comments.
Right.
It wasn't even Kawhi talking.
It won't be the last time.
It was his teammate talking on his behalf, going, yeah, he looks pretty good. Feel good about him. Mm-hmm. And
feels
talking
comfortable.
Lots, you know, like,
likes being here right now.
And we're trying to read into that.
I know. All right, Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, will be in studio. Leafs, Stars, and TSN 4 tonight. We'll get Bob's take on the games early in the season. Some big goaltender injury news, too.
Yeah.
Matt Murray, another concussion. Quick is week to week. Your boy Roberto Luongo's week to week.
I know.
Those are big injuries throughout the NHL. So we'll catch up with Bob. We'll get him in studio next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you can't watch us live, you can watch us later. Find everything podcasted online at tsn1050.ca and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. Bob McKenzie, the Hockey Insider.
Before we get to Bobby,
in studio.
Before we get to Bobby, I think I saw something weird on Twitter today.
Yeah?
Did the Phoenix Suns fire their GM like right after training camp?
The
like,
weirdest firing ever. He's been there for 5 years. He goes, they had the first overall pick. So he makes the pick.
And it was kind
signings
of a little bit,
and
whatever they did with the pick.
Well, they took Ayton, which was probably the right move, but I'm with you. Like, they're in camp, and the guy gets fired.
That's just weird.
Like, what happened?
Something must have gone awry.
What's your read on that, Bob? Like, as just a reporter, when smoke starts to bellow a little bit, am I saying that right? Bellow or billow?
Billow.
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 Are you okay, something had to happen here where the GM freaked or the owner freaked or what?
Yeah, and see, I'm at such a disadvantage. I'm going to get Woj in here.
Yeah, we should call up Woj. I'm sure he'd be willing to break the news to us.
I'm out of my element.
Right.
Say I'm out of my element in hockey, too.
Well, you were covering the Leafs when Ballard was kicking around, weren't you? Like, you must have seen some crazy stuff.
That was insane. Just... I remember the time.
Did you get access to him? Like, would he talk to you or no?
Yeah, on and off. You know, it wasn't even so much access. It was just, especially in the later years when he was getting real cranky. And I remember there was a deal where Ballard tried to ban the female reporters from the dressing room. That was a big thing back in the 80s, The media decided, all of the media decided en masse they would go in and the women would go in as well or whatever. And if I remember correctly, Ballard was there and he was trying to hit people with his cane and stuff.
Did you get hit?
No, I didn't. People.
In retrospect, would be cool if you got hit. Like, yeah. Do you kind of wish you got plugged right in the head by Ballard's cane?
Maybe so.
That'd be a good chapter in the book, I would think.
Nowadays, people...
No, Andy Petrillo would grab the guy's cane and smash it over his head and say, get lost, you loser.
She should.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're right, though. Everyone would just get their phones
on
today.
I'm filming this. There he is, Ballard.
I'm
swinging.
Watching you.
Harold didn't care.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
He gave no...
Yeah, he didn't care.
Gave none.
No proofs.
We were talking earlier about this Auston Matthews magazine shoot. He's done a couple of them.
Yep.
He's in GQ.
GQ, Sharp.
Sharp magazine.
Looking sharp. Sharp-dressed man.
You know, speaking about individual kind of promotion and your brand and how in hockey it's nowhere close to what we see in the NBA and NFL. And I'm not sure it will ever get to that point. But reading his answers, and I thought they were really well thought out, and his personality has just been blossoming this year. It's not a coincidence that Lou isn't here anymore.
No coincidence.
Do you think that factored into Shanahan's decision? I mean, not to take away from the acumen of Dubas, but...
No, I think the Dubas thing, I think he just realized that long-term he wanted Kyle Dubas, and if he didn't give him the job, he was going to go somewhere else. So I think that was that, but there's no question that you know, if Lou were still here, he would be probably limiting some of these fashion spreads or things with the young guys in particular, where he knows everything that's going on in the organization, what players get approval to do or whatever. And Dubas is much more be yourself. And I think what we're seeing with Matthews is he's being himself, including, you know, the celebration the other night. He, you know, hand to the ear. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, wow. It didn't surprise me because I don't know Austin real well, but I think I know him well enough to know that there is a lot of personality there and that, you know, he's got some jam that way. And I really thought it was funny when Kane did it right back. And I thought it was even funnier when Patrick Kane, after the game, was probably a little less than thrilled that Matthews did it. And they're pals. And Matthews really looks up to Kane. And Kane was sort of happy to stuff it back in his face, although they still ended up losing. But he was he seemed a little put off by it, which is cool because that's Patrick Kane who, when he came in, had some of the really fancy celebrations with his glove and
Showtime.
Well, I love it if they won. He'd be like, well, that was kind of fun. You know, it was good to go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some hypocrisy at play there. Like Kane all of a sudden.
Yeah, but you know what? It's also part, you know, as players get older, they start to see things a little bit differently. And anyways, I thought the whole exchange was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. And as we talked about, I don't know if it was with you guys or somebody else, the whole Brad Marchand and what he did to Lars Eller. I don't like what he did to Lars Eller, but I love what he did in the sense of, professional sports is supposed, there's an element of theater to it. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be drama. There's supposed to be controversies, heroes and villains and protagonists and antagonists. And when Marchand does something like that, and then the next night gets four assists in a 4-0 win, you know, ultimate heel move, and then responds because he's such a great player. And the same thing with the Matthews-Kane thing. I thought that was really cool. Two of the best offensive players just giving it to each other.
That's awesome.
In terms of celebrations and showing emotion.
Yeah, it was good for the game.
Based on his play, you know, we expected he would be on the marquee a lot in terms of the NHL and the promotion. But when you factor in how well Matthews is looking and how well he's played through 2 years, now his personality is starting to come out a little bit more. He's into fashion. He's doing these magazine hits. And he's in Toronto. Like, how big could this get?
That's huge. But can you imagine, just for a moment, what if Matthews was playing really poor to start? What if his first few games, he's like -5, doesn't have any, and then these fashion spreads come out, and there'd be a whole bunch of people going, right. You know what the problem is here? Hey, he's more worried about wearing a nice
jacket.
Joe
from the Bridge would be like, why is this guy doing photo shoots? He sucks.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't have the seat.
And there's obviously, nothing to do with anything, because these fashion shoots are done in the off season anyways. But it's just funny that, but I think it's cool. Let the kids be kids, and let them have their personality. And
We were talking about that last hour, is allow him to grow, and he's going to get so big that he's going to have to pick and choose some of the things that he focuses on away from the game. But you're right. If he's had a slow start, and we're talking about his play, and then some of these things come out, guaranteed the narrative is Austin Matthews focused?
And then he's going to see this. And then when that happens, and somebody will go and ask him the question, like, you know,
are you focused?
Something like that. And then he's going to get ticked off, and then he's going to be like, yeah. So it's kind of a funny thing. But, you know, it is funny. I don't follow the National Football League in terms of I will spend 0 minutes watching a football game on Sunday. 0 minutes. The next football game I watch will probably be the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the hell of it.
Right.
But I tell you what, I get up every morning, Sunday morning, and I watch 3 hours of the ESPN show, the
Countdown.
I like panels, but it's also because there's so many great personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see Randy Moss and say, you got Moss, see what they're wearing and to see, you know, the features they do on the players. It's really cool. So, yeah, I'm all for players doing whatever they want to do.
Bob McKenzie in studio. A bit of an overreaction. It's an annual event. Bunch of goals get scored the first week, and people freak out.
Can't play defense.
Yeah. It same happens every single year.
Yeah. Now, they couldn't play defense in Game 7 either.
Well, true.
And they didn't get goaltending in Game 7 either, to be honest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Although Freddie was fantastic almost all of last season for the most part. But the goaltending's been a little spotty early on. The defense is really spotty, and it's all very much a work in progress. So, you know, it's way too, you know, I get questions for the Bobcast, and it's like, you got to trade Nylander for a defenseman.
I know.
And they're going to work with the guys they've got. And hey, listen, you know, a month or two from now, maybe they will come to the conclusion, the personnel's an issue. Or maybe they'll come to the conclusion, hey, you know, we can tighten this up, and the pressure will be on the coach to do that.
Well, it's about time. He's got to do it. He's the highest paid coach in the league. You know, there's no more excuses. These players have been in the league for a while. They got all the talent. They bring in John Tavares.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying.
That's where coaching comes into play, too. It's like you cannot tell a guy or explain to a guy how to put the puck in the net. But X's and O's, defending, penalty kill, that's where a coach can put his
and the
print on the team.
Yep.
And the one thing he does have for power is ice time. That's the only thing he wields. All of those guys make money. They all, you know, all have a good life. But he wields the ice time. So if he doesn't like what he sees...
And that's why Ozaganov, he had a bad game Saturday night, and he was out Sunday.
Janssen's out tonight.
Like, sending a message. Now, it'll be interesting to see if he ever sends a message to somebody higher up in the lineup or with a little bit more cachet. And we were... Brian and I were talking off-air about this when you guys were doing your hit. Nazem Kadri hasn't had the best start. He had 2 assists the opening night, and, you know, that team was flying. But he's now, at one point, you know, had Josh Levo and Janssen playing with him, and he, at some point, I think he's going to be pissed behind the scenes and be like, all right, like, I need a little bit of love here. I need to find some time. He played a low, 13
minutes
last game.
Yeah.
Like, this is a back-to-back 30-goal scorer, and he's left some minutes and some responsibility on the table with the signing of JT, but, you know, at some point, maybe behind the scenes, he's going to be...
Well, everybody's got to find the new normal. And Babcock himself said he, you know, he hasn't been playing the matchup game either.
Right.
Because he says, I don't want to get locked into something. I just want to get him out there, get the guys out there, and see how it goes. And he'll have to adjust as he goes. If he sees Kadri starting to get left out, then find
he's
a way
done to... that too. He's tossed him out on the left wing a couple times.
Yep.
Yeah, he has.
I hope it happens a lot more.
Well, I think that's the bigger concern for Kadri is who am I playing with?
That's right. You know, I said
Josh Levo and Connor Brown.
The bottom line is, even if you play top end power play minutes, when you're on the third line, you're not going to be a heavy point producer. You're not scoring 30 goals. Mm-hmm. How many third line? Derek Brassard for the Pittsburgh Penguins. You think he's going to fire up 34 goals?
No, it's
but Nas has the benefit of being
a better player.
First power play too.
I get it, but he's still not going to do it.
Yeah,
he's not going to do it throughout an 82 game season.
Welcome to the new reality, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because of the dollar values, because of the cap, and so you know, when we get Nylander back and it pushes somebody down the lineup,
well, I think
maybe it's Kapanen. Yeah, obviously
playing with Kapanen would be a lot better than I think it was last game, wasn't it? Levo and Janssen, and both Levo hasn't for me. I think Levo's a guy who's going to just be in and out of the lineup. I don't think Babs loves him. I don't think he's a player that's established himself to be an every night guy. And Janssen, certainly, this isn't the AHL. And I think Babs fired a shot across the bow at him today.
Which I think he should.
But that's where I'm looking at Nazem going. And I go back to the famous Brett Hull comment on the bench that I was told, where Ken Hitchcock put him with Aaron Gavey and Mike Keane. And Hully looked back and said, oh, great, you got these two guys passing me the puck. We're going to really kill it out there. Hull meaning I'm a shooter. I played with Oates. I've played with Turgeon, all these players. And, Aaron Gavey, really nice player. Mike Keane,
grinders.
Really nice player, but more grinders.
Right.
So I think Kadri's going to look around and say, I played with Marner, and I've got it on a tee. I've played with some guys. And
Connor Brown, though, he scored 20 goals 2 years ago.
Yeah.
14 last year. So, it's not like you've got him with some plug that just showed up. He's a good hockey player.
Mm-hmm. Right. But last year he was with Marlowe and Marner. Nas looked like a stud.
Yeah.
Now he's not getting Marner back.
No.
That's not going to happen.
And Bob said the new normal for him is not he's more used to certain things and he's going to have to adjust too.
Absolutely.
But that's more of a personal adjustment mentally.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Some adjustments in goal throughout the league early in the season. Jonathan Quick, week to week. Roberto Luongo, week to week. Matt Murray, a concussion. Those are three starters.
It's scary.
These are
for
big
me
hits.
Because take a look at 2 years ago, Quick missed 59 games. Yeah. LA missed the playoffs. Done.
Yep.
Crawford last year, 50 games. Chicago not even close because of that division and all that. Matt Murray, there's not a lot of depth in net in Pittsburgh. You got DeSmith and Tristan Jarry, who are both young guys, not established. Roberto, at least they bridged themselves. They signed Michael Hutchinson to a $1.2 million deal in the offseason.
Yeah, but the scarecrow is going in there for...
Reimer's going to have to carry the load. That's why they're paying him a lot of money.
In Pittsburgh, they're somewhat confident. Last year, there was they were 20-10-2. With their backup goalies.
Yeah, they...
Last year. So they think, DeSmith's better. People just don't know who he is. And maybe he'll be fine. And Tristan Jarry's been injured himself, and he's just getting back now. So DeSmith will get the start Thursday night with Fleury on the bench and Malcolm Subban starting. They're a little...
Yeah.
They're getting a little gritty in
Vegas
right now. They're not very
happy. They're not happy, huh?
No.
Well, you lose a couple of games. They don't know what that means.
Got the Caps tomorrow night in Washington.
Right.
But the Vegas hasn't looked very good.
No.
I think teams are...
They were unreal in preseason, though. No. They were killing teams in preseason.
Yeah. And they just have... I think teams are... They're not surprising anybody anymore. That's why I continue to say the Leafs... They're not going to have an easy night because I'm circling JT and Matthews. It doesn't mean that they're not going to have success. They're just not going to have a night where people are going to take
all the
them
Western out. Leaguers in the NHL. They're like, I'm not going to give these guys props. We're sick of hearing about the Leafs. Let's dummy these
guys. Looking forward to tonight's game because, you got Ben and Radulov and Sagan. That's going to be a great matchup. And the plan, Jim Montgomery's plan going into the game, is to play Radek Faksa in a shutdown role against Matthews. head-to-head. And Faxa just had that job with Scheifele in the 5-1 win the other night against the Jets. And then you're going to have Tavares' line going head up against Ben Sega and Radulov, which should be fun.
This coach from the Dallas Stars seemed to be getting some props from the players. Just he seems like, just listening to Jason Spezza, he said he's asking us about the plays on the ice, admitting that he doesn't know what you guys see. He just seems to be like a real...
He's a player's coach.
Yeah.
And, but he's also, you know, he's a coach. And he's played in the league before.
Yeah.
And he's coached college hockey. And he's been around the NHL game. And he knows the mentality of star hockey players. You know, he played with Paul Kariya.
Well, I watched his presentation on the coach's site. I think you were on there too. And Ray did one. Like there, it's a website. It's pretty interesting to see a lot of different guys do presentations. And Montgomery was very progressive. You can tell he's a. I think he was DU or D, Denver.
DU.
Yeah, DU. Yeah, Denver. Yeah.
And he was talking about how he wanted his defense activated in the play, how he treated things in the defensive zone. Now he has a sign on the wall. In Dallas, I can't remember, I was drawing a blank on it, but just how he wants his players to play. If you do these five or six things, we're going to have success most nights. And afterwards, it's like successful power play. They put a check mark.
Right.
Did we do this? Did we win the special teams battle? Did we do that? And it should translate to a win. So you can tell he's a very progressive, positive coach. I played against him for
years. Got some personality,
yeah,
too.
He does.
I used to see him when my kid played college hockey at St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
Monty was an assistant coach with RPI. And so I used to see him at the rinks all the time and stuff. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he is.
Stars Leafs tonight on TSN4. Pregame starts at 8. Puck drop at 8:30.
Correct.
All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man. We'll catch you on the panel tonight.
Sounds good.
There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Overdrive has a pair of tickets for the Leafs taking on the Penguins October 18th. That's a big ticket. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. A bit of a new spin on the Leaf ticket giveaway here on Overdrive this year. So on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. If you are the first one to call in with all of the clues and the answer correct, you and a friend will be headed to the game. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf player played with Doug Gilmour in the 02-03 season with the Montreal Canadiens. Think that one over. Dougie Gilmour. Have you seen that new commercial with Gilmour and William Nylander?
Having the pasta.
And Vernon.
Vernon's in there. And
Trombley.
Is it Mario Trombley?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the three of them in there.
Just
yeah.
Quickly, we got a guy tweeting in. Bobby, I don't know if you would know this, or Brian or Jamie. What would a guy like Austin Matthews, what do you get paid for that photo spread?
I don't think he got paid for it, but I don't know that. I think it's more probably in clothing and
like if I'm doing the photos with the I'm taking the clothes with.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah. One of the jackets was $6,500.
I was going to say it was like over $20,000 all the gear.
I would do that. Like, give me the gear.
No kidding. It's
great clothes, but like I couldn't see myself in them. Like I would look horrible in.
Yeah, so I don't understand that fashion, but
One of them is a giant parka.
Yeah,
and it was kind of cool looking, but I'm like, I can't see myself.
I think you'd look good in that noodle.
Free gear, free swag,
underneath, right to the bar.
You could go back to Lethbridge where the wind howls.
Oh, exactly. I'd need it in Alberta right now. It's like
someone will just clock you. You walk out onto the street, someone suckers you for wearing that jacket.
Be in a bar fight back then because of my coat.
Nice coat, you big timer. Look at you.
For sure.
You forgot where you came from, Mr. Toronto.
On.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Leaf Stars tonight on TSN 4, Yankees Red Sox, CC Sabathia on the mound. This could be his last start. This may be it for CC. Yankees, man, do they need to bounce back. 16-1.
Usually you burn the game tape on that one.
What else are you going to do?
Nothing you can
do. If you're Aaron Boone, you're not like, come in early, we want to review the tape.
Now, Boone's been taking some heat there. Apparently, it was two games ago, wasn't it?
He left Severino in.
That's what it
too
was,
long.
Yeah.
Like, Severino was a gas can from the hop. And
he left him into
at
the
that
fourth.
Point, the
he
game
left
was,
him in into the fourth. And
it was probably game over.
But it was 3-0, and then he loads the bases, I think it was, and then he finally goes to the bullpen, and then Benintendi cleared him with a double, and it was over.
Yeah.
Big storyline there is Angel Hernandez, who was the first base ump last night and just butchered four different calls. He's behind the plate tonight. Really? And this guy is brutal.
Steve Phillips was taking a shot at him.
He's an awful umpire. Like, he's horrible.
Why is he umping in the playoffs?
I don't have an explanation. Whatever the explanation is, it's bogus and wrong. He's a brutal ump. And this year, Sabathia and him got into it, like yelling at each other. And Sabathia, like, really gave it to him. And now, kind of feels like a built-in excuse to an extent.
Yeah.
But there's a concern in New York, and I would feel it too if I was a Yankee fan, that this guy is just going to be a hero tonight.
He's Leslie Nielsen.
Well, he can impact the game. Yeah. Like, his strike zone can almost determine the outcome tonight. If he's a hero or he just carves it up or whatever, yeah. You'd like to believe he's more professional and will do whatever he can to make sure that the strike zone is acceptable, but who knows? I mean, you don't want to be going into the biggest game, Boston, New York, with a guy behind the plate who could be an absolute mess. Anyway, Leaf Stars tonight, you're on the panel. How you feeling? You were driving back from Chicago. You got home at like 5 a.m.
Yeah, long night driving through.
Couple cups of coffee, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I had that last night to just
battle.
Get her going. Got to do what you got to do. There was a fog in Toronto that was outrageous.
Yeah.
I know why we couldn't fly home, because
plane probably couldn't get in to pick you up.
Like, no, but Jamie, we got to like Guelph or Milton, and you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. I'm like, I know now why they said, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Philly at home against San Jose tonight.
Although
JVR out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, we didn't even bring that up.
Yeah. Sharks have not looked great. Joe Thornton back on the IR. I mean, it's too bad, but
yeah.
Shocking the world, I got Calgary tonight. They have not looked good. Mike Smith has been a mess in net.
Yeah. Not a fan.
They beat Vancouver the other night, kind of. By
Lindholm, 6-4. Not a fan.
Yeah. No, it hasn't been good. And Winnipeg bounces back. No Jonathan Quick for L.A. They got smoked by Dallas. Winnipeg at home. Throw down 20. You can score 125. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Pro line, get way into the game.
We are going to break down all of those games, plus Leafs, plus everything
tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.